Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be.
With my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be.
With my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the knowledge, the guidance, the depth, and the truth, Father, of this your word. We ask you, Father, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive so that we can learn more, not only of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also of your word, Father, to give us strength and truth to walk by so that we can make heaven our home. Be with us, Father, each and every time that we open your word, so that we are not deceived, Father, but that we get the truth. Once again, Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This evening, we're going to be starting the epistle of 1 Corinthians. We've been through Acts, Romans. Now we're into Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. You know, a little something about 1 Corinthians. Paul kind of indicates here in his writing that he's writing this from Ephesus. And if this comes at about the end of Paul's stay there, it's likely that the time would be about the spring of AD 55. And also, as we get into this first epistle of 1 Corinthians, Paul's deeply disturbed that the Corinthians do not seem to understand the truth of the gospel and the need for discipline. and that they need to walk in submission to the authority of Christ and of Paul, which is one of Christ's apostles. And as we kind of talked about that word apostles before, because today we hear the pastors being called a lot of different things, going by a lot of different titles. And we know that an apostle simply means one that is sent. One that has been sent by Almighty God. That can cover a lot of people. Also, we're going to find it as we go through 1 Corinthians, that the 13th chapter in this epistle is also perhaps one of the greatest chapters on love in the Bible. These are things we got to look forward to in the coming days as we go through this. So let us get started here. Don't think we'll be holding you too long tonight. This first chapter is not real all that long. We got 31 verses. It just depends on what the Holy Spirit does with it. Here, verse 1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sophenus, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Phil, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I have Apollo, I have Cephas, I have Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but of Cyprus, and Gaius. Lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. For we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God, the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see, your calling, brother, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, the things which are despised, has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And may the Lord now add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And may he open our hearts and minds to be receptive, to receive this in our spirit, as it is given to us by the Holy Spirit. And we ask all of this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. As we back up here now, begin to take another look at this scripture. Paul starts this just like he starts all his epistles, by letting us know who he is, what he is, and how he got that way. And he starts this one off the same way. Paul, letting you know who's writing this. Called to be an apostle. That's what he is. He is an apostle. How did he get to be an apostle? By the Lord Jesus Christ. He's letting us know all of this. He's bringing it right up front. And we should do the same thing in our lives. When we are talking to people, let them know who we are and what we are. You may not have a title in the church building here on earth, but you've got a title. Because if you are a born-again child of the living God, then let it be known that you are that born-again child of the living God, and that you are here as a minister of his to share the gospel. Now, you may not be an ordained preacher, but the scripture tells you that you are a minister also of his word, if you be that born-again child of the living God. There's too much of this that we in the church has let go and have forgotten all about, and that we don't proclaim it. We don't even receive most of it to ourselves, let alone share it with others. But, you know, it does take that sharing in order to bring fruit in for the Lord our God. And that's the job you and I are called to do, is to bring fruit in to our Heavenly Father. And you know, we can't do anything without the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him and the Holy Spirit, we are nothing. That's why we need to come together And Paul is concerned about the church there at Corinth and the Christians there, because he is afraid that they have forgotten to walk in a lot of authority. He goes on here too, and he says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. That word sanctified simply means they've been made holy. They've been made holy in Christ. Because that's the only way you can be made that way. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. But you are considered, once you become that born-again child of the living God, you are considered to be holy unto the Heavenly Father. And he has a work for you and your life. What we need to do is find out what that work is for each and do it. Step out and begin doing that work. You may not even know where you're going. You may not know what the end of it will bring. But you put your trust in him, and then you'll find out. Because somewhere down that line, that road, as you walk it, he'll let you know. Verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we get nothing, not even grace, except it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything going both ways goes through Jesus, or it don't go anywhere. What God the Father has given to you and I comes through Jesus, brought to us by the Holy Spirit, or the Comforter that was sent back to be with us. And what we do to reach, to praise, to give thanks, for whatever unto the Father, it goes back through the Lord Jesus Christ to get to the Father. That's why we're told in his word, he tells us, he says, pray to me, your heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, and I'll hear from heaven. And you know, if I hear from heaven, you know I'll grant your wishes. I keep getting that across to you all the time, because I know you keep forgetting it. Or you actually just quit really thinking about it. You get thinking other things. Next thing you know, that's not in your mind any longer. Now, we get peace from God our Father, but it comes out. We get peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's all got to come through him. It comes from the Father, but it comes through Jesus also. Now, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Paul's letting them know there at that church there at Corinth that he's always thanking God for them. Just as I thank God for every one of you. that listens to this ministry around the world. Thank him every day for you. And ask him to take care of you and lift you up to him. Now, Bible says that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. You see, we don't have any knowledge without him. And without that Holy Spirit, you will not have the truth of the knowledge of God's Word. You can sit and read it over and over and over and over, but until the Holy Spirit brings that revelation to you, you will never have the full truth of God's Word. Think about it. That's why you should never pick up this Bible and say, well, you know, I'm going to study God's Word, and just open it up and start reading until you go to him first in prayer and ask him to give you the revelation, the knowledge and the wisdom of his word. And he will. But he also tells you that you have not because you ask not. Or you ask amiss for the wrong reasons. You know, when we go to God in prayer, we need to go using his word for prayer. He knows everything you need. You don't have to be begging for yourself. He already knows. As you pray, you can just say, Lord, I know you know my needs. I know you're taking care of my needs. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of my needs. And then go on praying about his word and things that are his will, about his promises. Start praying for others, praying for this nation, praying for the church of this day and time. These are all things we are told in his word to pray for. But very few do. Now, 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye came behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He put the gifts in the church, and we're going to be getting into them down the road, so I'm not going to get into them again right now. We'll be getting into them when we get over into chapter 12. There's a lot of things here in the book of this epistle of 1 Corinthians. And Paul don't pull no punches. In nowhere, no way, no how. So that you come behind in no gifts, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard me preach about you obtaining perfection, and yet so many that you will talk to today will stand and tell you that there is none perfect. But that's against God's word. As we go on, you're going to be finding out where he tells you to be ye perfect as I am perfect. He's telling you to be that. He's not telling you to be something you can't be. God don't work that way. He don't tell you to do something you can't do. He don't tell you to be something you can't be. And if you're looking at one of his promises and you've been praying about that promise and nothing's happened, take time to look at yourself. Kind of investigate yourself. And you'll find why you're not receiving that promise. Because God don't break his promise. That promise was already given when he made it. It was given right then. What we have to do is to get into shape spiritually to where we can receive it and get the understanding on how and what it takes in order to receive whatever it is. I know they look at me right now, especially when I'm preaching this way. Then why are you still wearing oxygen? I told you why. But I know one day he's going to take it. He'll take it. And I'm going to have it. And it was my fault. It wasn't really due to sin. But it was caused and brought to me by Satan because I opened the door because I was not spending enough time in his word and with him in prayer. This is why I know these things can keep you away from him and away from his promises, is because you see me and you know I'm actually living it. It don't mean things won't come against you. And it don't mean that every day of your life you're not going to face something and you're not going to have to go through troubles and trials and tribulations, because you will. He tells us that. And he also tells you, they persecuted me, so they're going to persecute you. And they're doing that out here right now. Persecuting anyone today that wants to claim to be a Christian, a child of God. And a lot of it is right in our churches. And we'll be getting into part of that here. Hopefully here in just a little bit. If not, we'll get into it come Sunday morning, God willing. Now, verse 9, God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We are called even by him himself. By the Lord Jesus Christ himself has called you and I friend. And he calls us brothers. What greater thing can happen to you than to have our Savior call us friends and brothers and sisters? And yet, so many wants to deny him today and to deny his power. And denying his power can lead to denying the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And that's one sin you don't want on you. Now, he said, 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So why is it that mankind cannot follow the word of Almighty God and stand in unity with the same mind, as we are told to do, to where there is no division among us? But look what we've done. Denomination after denomination, about 115 different denominations, that has divided mankind. Because they all, none of them teach alike. They teach something different. That's why, if they belong to one denomination, you belong to another, they don't want nothing to do with you. And if you are actually a denominational member, you don't want nothing to do with them either. Oh, now, Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, yes, I do. I'm born and raised in one of them. I was raised in a denominational church until the good Lord called me into the ministry, and he's the one that changed me just like he changed Paul. He didn't give me no choice. He said, I'm sending you there. And he let me know, I'm going to be your teacher. And once he starts teaching you, you'll spend some time shaking. Because he don't play games. Wait till he stands you up in a church, packed. Every seat packed. Standing lined up around the walls to hear you. And he's got you preaching a message that's contrary to everything that church preaches. Including the pastor. See if your hair won't stand up a little bit. Been there, done that. Then was taken out and introduced to the pastor of the church that I had just told she didn't have no business being there. Nine other preachers are sitting up on the platform with me that belong to denominational churches that all accepted them. When I actually realized what the Lord had done, if I could have found the door very close, I'd have went through it. But instead, one of the pastors took me out and introduced me to the pastor of that church. Introduced me to that cutest little black girl you ever seen. Looked up at me and said, you know, I didn't know that was in there. I was looking at her and told her, I said, well, you know it now. But it gives you some shaky moments. Then you pull up in front of another church, park right in front of the sign. All the members will say, well, you know, you have to know what kind of church this is. When you're standing there preaching against what the preacher's putting out there, because you didn't look at the sign to know. Of course, it wouldn't have made no difference anyway, because I don't do the preaching. And after service is over, standing there talking to one of the deacons, he tells me, he says, you kind of rough on our pastor today, wasn't you? I told him, I said, I don't know, was I? Well, you just preached against everything he preaches for. Well, I also then understood why I was getting a look that if looks at the kids, you ought to drop dead. I went out and got in the car, and I'm sitting right in front of the sign. The sign says Independent Fundamental Baptist. But that wasn't, they wasn't getting no Independent Fundamental Baptist service. But God knows what he's doing. And he'll lead you where he wants you. And when you are talking to others, whether you are up here preaching or not, or just talking with, sharing with someone else, always give them God's word and the truth. And don't back up off of it. Don't let them change it. That's why things are set in this ministry like they are. If one wants to come into this ministry, he has to come in and serve a year as a deacon. Because I have to know what he's going to be standing on and what he is going to be putting out. He tells us to approve him. Before I can ordain that man, he has to be approved by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God to me, because I'm the one responsible. My two pastors that I have now, I think the world of both of them. But they both know what I expect too. And they know, don't go preaching something that he's done said no to. But that won't work. You keep it in God's word. And you don't use his word to make something else out of it. You stay with his word. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Phil, that there are contentions among you. Even in the beginning, with the early churches, they was having their contentions and their divisions, just as we are today. And some of them, even a little stronger than what we're having right now. But our contentions that we are having right now is going to grow stronger. We are at war. Spiritually at war with Satan and even some of our other churches. Because they will not come into unity. They will not get back into the Word of God, because those that are in leadership won't get right with God themselves. And as I said earlier, if you're not right with God, you're not going to understand His Word. You can't do it. All right. Verse 11, for it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Cleo, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I of Apollo, I of Cephas, and I of Christ. You see, they were claiming to be of different ones of the disciples and claiming to be different. And actually, if they had really been of those men, they wouldn't have been in contention. Because those men all preached the same thing. They were all true men of God. But they were making out of it what they wanted it to be instead of what was being said about it. All right. I'm going to go with a couple more verses and then we're going to close out. It says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He's letting them know. Don't be claiming these things because it's not so. Christ is not divided. There is actually, when it comes to God, there is only one church. Now, that church will have many different names. But it shouldn't be like it is today. Back then, they carried the name of where they were. Like this Corinthian. 1 Corinthians here. It was wrote to the church of Corinth. A place. Not a different teaching. But a place. Where today, we have divided them and built walls around them and in between them. It's almost impossible to get through. And most of them you can't, to be honest with you. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Caiaphas and Gaius. Least any should say that I had baptized in my own name. You know, it don't take a preacher to baptize you. Any born-again child of God can do it. It's better to go than get a pastor to do it because there's some other things that needs to go with it because you need to be taught what it's all about, what it means, what is happening to you at the time. I was baptized 3 times before that was ever done to me, the right way. But when it's not done right, it doesn't do you any good. That's why we have things in the shape that they're in today. All right, I'm going to go one more verse here. We're going to close for the evening. He says, and I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. This Stephanas that he's talking about here, actually, was also known to belong to the church. Now, God willing, we're going to be getting in Sunday morning to preaching about the cross of Christ. We got a lot of bad teaching going on about that today also. But we, God willing, we're going to be getting into that. Now I'm going to stop here with verse 17. And we'll be picking up with verse 18, Sunday morning, God willing. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father. We thank you for a place and a time that we can come together to share your word and be support one to the other, Father, and to share your word with each other so that we can all learn and walk stronger with the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. Walk stronger in the Spirit and the Spirit in us so that the things that we speak and say and teach, Father, will always be yours and not ours. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. But Father, right now, they don't have much peace. But we are seeking peace for them, Father. But even more than that, Father, we're praying for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, that has turned its back and walked so far away, no excuse whatsoever, Father. It took the Lord Jesus Christ out of every place he was in. Took him away from our young people, our children in school, trying to fill their heads full, Father, of the foolishness and the evil things of Satan. We pray, Father, for those that have done this thing to be removed from our office, our leadership, Father, and help us to replace them with ones that will stand for the church, ones that will stand with the Lord Jesus Christ and will work with us to put our nation back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, our prayer list, as each name is named, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch that person, to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, financial, or physical. Now, Father, Kenny Powers, James Taylor, Dennis Lee, myself, Father, my wife and my family, the Taylor family, the Lee family. Father, we all have family members that are not right with the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift them up, Father, and we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to work with them, to begin to speak and talk with them, Father, to change their ways, change their minds, turn them around, Father, and lead them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom, Jim's son Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breed and his wife Tina, for the brothers in Christ, Father, these all, fill them to overflowing, Father, with the Holy Spirit. Make them all brothers and sisters to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Small, the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches. Been a little full gospel church of God there at Akron, and the pastor there, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie. Father, these pastors, I pray that they are filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, that they are walking, leading these churches along the pathway of righteousness, doing so according to your word, your will, and your way, not theirs nor man's way, but according to you and your way. For my friends in Pakistan, Haroon Islam, Pastor Brack Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Aaron, Father, these all, I pray that the Holy Spirit will fulfill whatever need they have. For the Johnson family, for Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo, her mother, for Sue and David, for Palance. Father, we pray for them because they all stand in need of a healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch them, Father, with thy healing power. In Jesus' name. And it's in Jesus' name, Father, that I ask all of this. Amen. All right, remember now, God willing, we can all come together Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern time. So until then, walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have a good evening and good days until then. Bye-bye now.